We've got some visitors here this morning. It's good for you to be here. It was said very accurately this morning. We seek to be a church that centers on the Scripture. I hope you appreciate that, because anybody can come up here and tell you cute stories and things that make you go, ooh and ah, especially around the offering. You put more money in. We don't play that game. What I want you to see here this morning is the fact that we're a church that's going to study the Scripture. And here's what I hope you get when we're done with this morning and any Sunday morning. I hope you look at the Scripture and you say this, but you don't have the guts to say it to my face. But you say this: I could do that. I could do what he does. It's all too simple what he does. Exactly right. You can understand the Word of God as well. And this morning we're in our third or fourth message on the Scripture. Fourth message. It wraps up next week with a fifth message on the Scripture. And then we'll move on to prayer and some other things as we talk about church essentials. Before that goes any further, I have to say this. Some of you who are visiting traveled maybe 10 or 15 miles to visit. And there's a couple here from Minnesota that's, what, 200 miles away? How far is it? That came, who were in a church where I was in Minnesota. I wouldn't have recognized you with just one layer of clothes on, but it is good to see you. And they literally, all the way from Minnesota, right? From Wilmer, Minnesota. It's great to see you guys. Let's say good morning to the Calabags in a special way. Good to have you guys here. We were talking a little bit about the church before everything got going this morning. They surprised me when they walked in the door. I thought I was seeing a vision, and maybe I wasn't over the flu that I had a week or two ago. But the truth of the matter is they have, you've tracked me all over the place. I haven't been to that many places. That sounds good. Yeah, that's right. Apparently not. So, but it's great to have you here. But he actually started talking a little bit about the church ministry this morning. This is the kind of church I'd go to. And I said, well, it's the kind of church that attracted me, because most of you people aren't right, which is where I'm at. And that's perfect. It's a great little match. Okay. Excellent. If you don't have an outline this morning, this is one of those mornings where it would really come in handy. And if you looked at the outline already, it is packed. I'm going to give you the next 20 minutes to read it over, and then we're going to close in prayer. Because there is just a lot of stuff there for you to see, and I want you to see it because I want you to be building in your mind the benefits about the Scripture. I don't do very much in my life unless there's a benefit to it. Have you ever noticed that? You don't do much in your life unless there's a benefit to it. But I've noticed something in the past 5 to 8 years that advertising has picked up, not just on the benefit, you know, the average thing. Well, if you use this spray polish, your furniture just gets shiny and bright and stays that way for its entire existence. And so you run out to get the latest product from Pledge because it does such a great thing. Or eat this and it'll make you healthy to live for 500 years. And you go, oh, that's great, but I noticed that advertising now, some of the really sharp ones, the past 5, 6, 8 years, have really locked into this, that if you use our product, it will give you a total body workout in 8 minutes. I love that, okay? Not only that, but your body will be so much better from using our piece of equipment, but watch closely. Your mind will really benefit too. And you know what? Your spirit will benefit too. Use our workout equipment. And you're laughing at me, but you watch the next vacation ad for a certain cruise line. They will say this, that they offer a vacation that benefits the mind, the soul, and the body. So if you're hitting that midnight buffet, remember, you're benefiting your soul and your mind. I don't know about your body. I just threw that part in, okay? You ever notice top athletes now? Watch a top athlete before they go to do the Olympics. Now, they're in perfect fit shape. 2% body fat. They're in amazing shape. But before they go out there to do their thing for their Olympic gymnastic run, they've got earphones in, and they go like this. Years ago, you would say they're having a problem of some kind. But now we know that they're going through their routine in their mind, and they're mentally picturing it, and they are being prepared mentally for what they're about to do physically. There's one message I would love to get through, not to the people who don't know Christ, but to the people who do know Christ. And it's this, is that the Word of God speaks and affects and changes the total being. Listen to me. The Word of God, better than anything I've just mentioned, is the one thing that benefits your mind. You know that. It's the one thing that benefits the heart emotionally. You know that. And just by the way of your whole person, it also benefits your body as well. The Scripture is the only thing that really talks to your total being. And listen to me carefully. Work with me on this one. Suppose we had a group of people like this, under 100 people who met in a factory warehouse kind of building, who actually believed all of what I just said, and actually got involved in the Scripture, and it actually got into their head. Everybody knows the knowledge part. And it got to their heart. It actually affected their being emotionally and psychologically on the inside, changed what their body did on the outside as they sought to be obedient to the Scripture. Can you imagine taking a group of people just this size and then taking those folks and putting them out there everywhere where God has you during the week, contacting all the people He's got you to have contact with? Can you imagine the impact that group of people would have if they truly realized that the Scripture really does talk and affect and touch every part of my being? Isn't that pretty cool? Listen carefully. We're going to do something here for a couple minutes. I can speak for the next 3 hours. Okay. If you don't believe me, just ask my wife. She says it never stops. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a break. But here's what we're going to do during that break. I believe over the course of your life, you have heard this kind of this message in different places about the benefits of the Word of God and the benefit for you. Everybody right now, think of what you think is the core and key benefit for you of the Scripture, of the Word of God. Maybe you haven't thought this way in a long time. Maybe you've been in a relationship with Christ for a lot of years and you have never, even in recent history, thought about what the benefit is of the Scripture. I just know I'm supposed to read it. Okay, let's do this for just a couple of minutes. You're sitting near some people. I'm going to encourage you to stand in just a moment. And as you stand, I'm going to ask you not to just talk, because talking's easy. I'm going to ask you to think right now for 30 seconds and get your mind focused around one or two of those benefits of the Word of God. And I'm going to have you stand. And you can move around, do whatever you got to do. Give another person or two or three. And don't talk about your garden and the tomatoes and how your tomatoes are doing this February and all that. Don't want to hear that. Share what the key benefit for you is with the Word of God. What's the key benefit? Okay, everybody thinking about it? Okay. With that said, everybody stand. Look around a little bit. Find another person or two. Go. You got about a minute to talk with them about a benefit of the Word of God. Okay, time. Please find your seat. Time. Please find your seat. Scripture says in Acts 2:42 that the apostles gave themselves completely over to the study of the Word. They devoted themselves to it. They threw everything else to the wind so that they could study the Word of God, the Scripture. That's how important it was to them. All right. If it was that important to them and they saw the benefit in it, and they saw the value in being persecuted because of it and all the price that goes with it, I don't want to hear from you what you shared with somebody. And if we do this right, we'll be going for the next half hour and we'll go home. Okay, I'm just kidding. But listen, did you hear something that maybe you hadn't thought about in a while that you thought, boy, that was just really cool? Did you hear something that reminded you, that's why I have a commitment to the Scripture? Because of that. And I got to admit, I hadn't been thinking much about this till about 2 weeks ago when I was getting this sermon revved up to get here for this morning. I can't believe how many things I had parked and just hadn't been thinking about. Okay, anybody want to share? Hand up. Anybody want to share a thing you heard? Should just be a phrase or a short sentence? Yes, Philip.
I heard that it gives this individual a sense of security.
Okay, gives a sense of security. Listen, you got a note sheet in front of you? Okay, if you don't, you're going to need to get one. I'm going to have John stand up with the extras there. One of the Johns, there we go. And put up your hand politely if you don't have an outline. You really need it for this morning. You might write some of these down. Over here, John, thank you. Okay, Okay, so sense of security. Another one. Put your hand up real quick. Hand up real quick. Quick phrase. Didn't hear anything. Like John and Jim.
Relationship.
Say, I love that. You got to fill in the details. There it is. Relationship. Florence? A guide on how to live a life for Christ. And I'm not doing much comment, but I love that.
Direction.
Direction. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Forgiveness. Wow. I don't want to pick on you. I don't know you very well, but I'll tell you, I'll just talk about me. I got to keep going back for that. Okay. Me too. That's really cool. Glenn? Ooh, very good. Hold on to that. They felt very connected with God when they read the Scriptures. Hold on to that. I'm going to write some of these down in the back.
Transformation by the renewing of our
mind. Ooh, college professors among us. Transformation by the renewing of our mind. You stole that from the Scripture. I know. Thank you. And it's really good. Okay. Anybody got another one? Something you heard that was just really kind of neat? Can I give you another thought? If we were on the golf course or the tennis courts and I was giving you a lesson, can I give you another swing thought? Here it is. Listen to this, okay? You need to be thinking about it maybe this way. According to the Scripture, we who are followers of Christ have been born again or born anew. And if something is born, it's alive. And anything that is alive craves food for growth. The Scripture is that food for growth. The Scripture is what spurs the relationship for growth. Jesus said, and your first point's coming up right now, in John 8:31, if you hold to my teaching, continue in my word, then you really are my disciple. First point is this. The word is needed for my continued growth. The way it works out is that the Scripture actually feeds me. And I'm not taking a lot of time on each of these points, but now I'm going to read to you the morning Scripture. A psalm by David, Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. I want you to listen to David talk about the Word of God, and I want you to hear passion. Have you seen people with passion? Have you watched somebody with passion? Listen to the passion that he has for the Word of God. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. For it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. Let's pray. Father, we're looking at your word this morning. And Father, we're looking at your word anew this morning. Challenge us. Teach us. Father, hit us upside the head where we need to be. As we discuss your holy word, for it's in your son's name we pray. What was David's heart? It was one of passion. Look at verse 97. He said he loved the law. That's an intense word, intense desire. He loved it. He trusted it. He'd been comforted by it. He had hope in it. He was consumed by it. He was intense about the Scripture. Look at Psalm 103. He said it was sweet to his taste. You know what that means? He liked it. He liked it. Elsewhere, he says this, that it was his delight and his pleasure. David knew a phrase that's been said in literature for quite a number of years, and this is not a Mike original, but I have borrowed it. David knew this phrase, if you want to write this down, that the Scripture was the voice of God in the language of men. The voice of God in the language of men. And because of this, watch your notes, they're going to go by real quick here. Because of these realizations and his intense feelings, he meditated all day long. In verse 97, you read that he took the time, sustained time, prolonged time to mull over and over and over the Scripture, allowing God to have time to show him what that Scripture says, allowing the tutor, the Holy Spirit, to teach him about God. It's your second point. The Word causes me to meditate on God Himself. Where else can I go where I can learn about God accurately? Where else can I go and get accurate information on the God of the universe? Where? Nowhere. People have written poems. People have written stories about God and imagery about God. But where can I go from God Himself as He reveals Himself on paper? Where can I go to get this kind of information? I can't. And what happens is, your second point here, I get to meditate on God Himself. And you know what? I don't have to have a college degree. And I don't need to have an advanced degree. And I don't need to have... All I need is a heart that's in love with God. Not necessarily mental brilliance. But I'd hope you'd bring the mental brilliance, because this will just add to it, okay? But the problem is, in our culture, here it is. You want to know what it is? You have sat now for approximately 8 or 9 minutes. You know there's another 8 or 9 minutes to go. And you've been sitting. I don't know about you, but I turn on the TV. Some of you are good at this. I'm not. I turn on the TV and I sit there 8 or 9 minutes. I'm glad they have commercials. I need to move. I can't sit there. In fact, when my favorite teams are playing on the TV, do you know what I do? I stand there and I watch the TV. And if I get a little too animated with my movements watching the TV, my wife will yell to get out of the way so that she can see the TV, because she's one that can sit a little longer than me. Now, I'm a little bit exaggerating here, but I'm making the point is, we are in a culture where activity is honored. We are in a culture where the more you work, the longer you work, the more you're rewarded. But hey, how about if you actually, when this morning was done, stayed in your seat? Now, I'm not telling you to do this, right? Stayed in your seat because you wanted to continue to contemplate the Scripture and the Word of God in your life and your relationship with it. A lot of people might go, hey, come on, we're leaving. Honey, come on, got to go. Get in the car. Come on, we got to go. Because we're in that culture where we don't sit to just think and to meditate. But David says here that he meditated, and it brought along some results that are rather dramatic. Third point. It makes me wiser than my enemies. In verse 98, it makes me wiser than my enemies. I can see my enemies. I know the people that don't like me. I know what they look like. I know how they act. I know how they talk behind my back. Do you really? What about the ones you don't see? What about the ones that you just don't see? What about Satan? What about Satan and his minions? What about those creatures that, oh, by the way, have made you into their target as much as they can to muck with your life, to infiltrate your life, to tempt you, to tease you, to accuse God? What about those people? I never see them, just the effects of them. Your third point is this: it makes me wiser than my enemies. Fourth point's in verse 99. It gives me insight. Did you see that? Insight. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. It gives me great insight to see things as they really are. Verse 100 gives me my fifth point. These are dramatic results. It gives me understanding. It means I get a fuller grasp to have something plain and clear. Fifth point, the Word gives me understanding. Understanding, and I would add to that, understanding that I don't naturally have. Oh, stop. What? I'm average intelligence. We're not taking a vote, okay? That wouldn't be right. I'm average intelligence. I've learned how to drive a car. I can park it in my garage. That's amazing. People 200 years ago couldn't do that. But I can do that. I've got that skill. You mean to tell me that there's something else I need understanding on? Well, you know, if I did... When I was learning to drive, a neighbor taught me, who was an expert. He also happened on the side to be a driving instructor. I learned a lot of cool stuff that I bet you don't even know about a car. I bet you. Point of the matter is, all through my life, I've run into people who were smarter than me. I didn't know how to make bread 35 years ago, 30 years ago. And a woman in my church showed me how to make bread. That's really cool when you can do that, okay? And you know what? Hold it. I didn't know much about the study of Scripture. I didn't know how to put something like this together. I would have been scared to death to figure out what kind of a lesson to teach people in church. But I sat with people who were professorial and smart and logically not just up here somewhere, but could bring it down to my level and teach me how to study the Scripture the right way. You know what? All through my life, I've had to go to people for greater understanding than me. I've had two mentors who knew life better than me and taught me about life and the things that mattered. The truth of the matter is I have always been in a posture where I needed to listen to somebody who was more skilled at something than me. And when the Scripture comes along, I'm getting the insight and the understanding from God Himself, who knows all, who's giving me His mind and His wisdom and His understanding. If you told me this afternoon at 1 o'clock I could come back to this room and God was going to sit up here and He was going to dish out His understanding, I'd be here early so I could get a seat in the front and kick this bear out of the way so I could have this seat to listen to God talk. Because He's going to give the understanding. I say all that and you sit there and go, yeah, that's right, that's right. Yet, there's a good chance this book's going to go home today and it might not get open until next Sunday. And that's an if. Yet all that understanding sitting there. Let's keep going here. And I wanted to ask you a question this morning. What would be the benefit to the community if I was in the Scripture like the Scripture calls me to be into it? I remember years ago when the kids were in the car, and it happened several times, by the way, we were actually driving around the southeast. And as we were driving, and the kids were like junior high age, they looked out the window just like I did. And this has happened to you. And they saw a whole bunch of the woods off to one side of the road. All the trees were dead. You ever seen that happen? All the trees were dead and they were gray and they were just basically waiting for a fire because they looked like tinder over there. Everything was green. Come to this one spot for a bunch of acres and everything's dead. And you go, how could that be? Well, my kids asked me because they knew that I knew the answer to that. They said, Dad, what's the matter with those trees? If you know anything about me, I said, well, they're dead. And then I learned this from a guy who ran an apple orchard. You know what they've got? They've got a blight. I just like saying the word. They've got a blight. And you know what? It probably just started with one or two trees. But that blight extended to others, and now you see thousands of them as we're driving along here for a mile or two, and all those trees are dead. How could that be? That's a negative effect. That's a bad thing. You could say the forest was sick, but really it was one or two trees that were sick and it probably spread and the blight went to a bunch of trees. If you get that picture, then you get the picture where I'm going with this. The effect of the Word of God within a body of believers and within the community of what we're called to do and be in Christ is just like that blight, but the opposite. The one or two or three people that are really studying the Scripture and living it out like they should affect the rest of them around them, affect the rest of the trees, the rest of the folks around them. And the bottom line is, you read through Corinthians, and sin that's not dealt with goes through the body and has an effect on everybody and takes us all down. But what you need to do is paint the other picture. And that is when one or two of you and me and etc. actually live according to the Scripture, it has a very positive effect on our message and on our reputation and the community where God has put us. Understand that? That's pretty cool. Let's move on to some other benefits, which in turn really benefit the church body. In verse 100, you see this. You see that obedience. You got it? Point number 6. The Word calls me to obedience. 7th point, verse 101, okay? I hold back my feet from every evil way. The Word calls me to obedience, number 6. Number 7, the Word keeps my feet from the evil path. There are several paths out there, and there are evil paths, and the Word keeps me from it. Verse 104 gives me my 8th one, and that's this. The Word teaches me to hate the wrong path. Oh, there it is. The Word teaches me to hate the wrong path. All right, stop right there. Look up. I want you to get this, okay? The truth of the matter is that I might not always do the wrong path, but it doesn't mean I hate the wrong path. Listen to me carefully. Let's talk about pornography for just a moment, because that usually makes a pin drop quiet in the audience while we're talking about it, all right? Let's talk about pornography for just a moment. You know, I don't do pornography, but I don't hate it. I don't stay away from the wrong path. In fact, a lot of times, I almost like to see how close I can come without getting into it very deeply. So I sneak a peek for a couple of minutes, but then I get off that internet site, but then I sneak a peek for a couple more minutes, and I flirt with it. And I don't really hate that wrong path. I know it's wrong, and I'll tell you it's wrong, but inside my heart, I'm kind of like, I like getting close to it. And that's just that illustration of pornography. And there's many more things like that out in our culture which pull us away from Christ. The fact of the matter is here that the Scripture, if you look at it again, it helps keep my feet from the evil path, and it causes me in verse 104, the eighth point, to hate the wrong path. I don't now try to skate over there and take a look in, or just look up over the wall a little bit, or hold it, I'm not done. I don't get as close as I can, or just realize that if I spend 3 minutes, it's okay, but four would be sin, and I'm only going to look for a few things, and then I'm out. It causes me to hate the wrong path, which is talking about my relationship to sin. In verses 105 and 106, we get the ninth benefit, and that's this, that the Word is a lamp onto my feet and a light to my path. I always compared it to camping up in the Canadian North Woods and what that was like at night. In the daytime, beautiful. At night, it doesn't exist because at night, it is so dark you can't see a thing, and a light becomes important. Not like me, who would bring a bright flashlight to shine across the lake to see how far it would go, because like a little Boy Scout. That's just really a cool thing to do. No. You don't need the light for that. You need the light to point down so you can walk among the rocks and the roots and everything that's there and not fall and get hurt. The light was never meant for shining it up in the trees and go, oh, look at that. The light was meant to shine at your feet and go, oh, there's the path. And then if I have it shined on the path, I won't stumble and I won't fall. You still taking notes? I like to read stories of leaders who lead a group and what they say to motivate a group. I was just reading how the manager of the Cubs motivated the Cubs last year during their pennant race, record pennant race, trying to get back to the World Series and win it. I also read what he said yesterday to his camp as they all got together for spring training for this new season and this campaign. I find those kind of words that they seem so simple, but they're inspiring to a lot of folks. And I saw this message that a Marine general gave to his troops right before they went into battle years ago. And he said this, and don't be offended by it, but it's worth listening to. He said that we fight this fight we're about to enter not for our flag. Oh, I thought that's what they fight for. Not for motherhood. Not for apple pie. They are all good reasons, but they're not the primary reason that I fight. He said we fight for the lives of our fellow Marines next to us, because that guy next to me is depending on me to do so. And he dies if I don't do my job. And if he dies, then there's a good likelihood that I'm going to die. And if I die and he dies, the mission is less likely to be successful. I like that. I like the way that talks to the body of believers. If you're taking notes, in Deuteronomy chapter 32... Deuteronomy 32, verses 46 and 47. Moses said this to his people. Listen to this. Take heart to all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may be able to command your children to obey carefully all the words of the law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. Tenth point. The Word of God is my life. The Word of God is my life. It's time to start thinking that way. Many people right now are thinking in a few minutes we're going to get out of here and it's time to eat. Amen? Nobody go with me there. Okay. Okay, thank you, David. How appropriate. I love that. But the fact of the matter is the Scripture, the Word of God, is my life. And in the time we live, you need to understand three negative principles at the end that you can write in. Three real-world warnings. And here they are. The first one is this. The warning is neglecting to read the Word. Not even making the effort to read the Word, to develop any kind of discipline and priority to feed spiritually. First one is neglecting to read the Word. The second warning is this, that if I do read the Word, to tend not to rely upon it, or even give the Holy Spirit time to help me understand it, to let the tutor teach me. The second one is, I read the Word, but I shut it up and I put it away like I never saw it. And the third warning is this, to read the Word and not obey it. To read the Word and not obey it. John chapter 14, verse 21, Jesus said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Did you hear that? Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Simple as that. Black and white. Cut and dry. Let's pray. You bow your head this morning. And as you're bowing your head, between me and you right now, but more you and you, inside you, listen. What honestly is your practice with the Word of God this morning? Do you fit into any of the warnings that we just gave, the three of them? What priorities does the Scripture have in your life? And as you sit here this morning and a whole morning where we've talked about the Word of God, what priorities should it have? Where do you need to move it to in your heart and your mind so that it has the priority that it's supposed to have? And as you walk out of here this morning, what needs to be different so that you might have the right relationship with the Scripture that you've been called to have? Our Father, we thank you for your Word. We realize just in a small way how important this Word is to our very lives, spiritually and physically. And Father, I pray for each of us in this room that we would raise the level of commitment to the study, to the meditation of your Holy Scripture. And then, Father, by your power, our obedience to it. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.